This is a Resonance FM podcast. If you enjoy the unique nature of Resonance FM programming, please support us on resonancefm.com. Many thanks to Frank Key, the creatively eloquent king of neologism, with his wonderful show, Hooting Yard. This is the first live programme of the day. Today on Monday at Resonance FM 104.4, you're listening to Six Pillars to Persia with me, Farrie Bradley. Today we have an interview with tennis star Mansour Bahrami, a self-taught genius, and we also have a couple of interviews from an event that he spoke at the Hilton in London when he was at Bieber's, an event all about doing business in Dubai, which I'm not sure Mansour Bahrami is directly linked with. However, he himself, as an example, overcame amazing odds to become the man he is today. And we also have some music from Hayden Dickinson, who is a piano player who lives in Hertfordshire and who studied under Peter Feuchtwanger. I hope I've pronounced that right. An amazing pianist and composer who was very much influenced by Eastern musical traditions. So first of all, we'll have the interview with Mr. Bahrami and then we'll go on to something else. Okay, so Mr. Bahrami,
yes.
You've just released a DVD in English to accompany your book, which is only in French. What can we expect from your exciting DVD?
Well, I'm talking about, it's a four-hour DVD, and
That's very long, 4 hours.
It's not very long. You'll see. If you see it, you're not going to find it very long, because I'm talking about 45 minutes about my life, about how I learn, how I start to play tennis and stuff like that. And then it's 3 hours of really laughter. You know, you're going to laugh for a long time because you're going to see images playing tennis, me with Becker, with Cash, with Borg, with McEnroe, you know, Nastasi, LeConte, and it's really a lot of fun, a lot of laughter in there.
You told us earlier that the book came out of a long journey that you took when you hesitatingly told your friends the story of your life, and the story of your life was very long and it was detailed and they felt very enthusiastic. A lot of people are going to learn from your story because you have overcome insurmountable odds to do what you've done with your career, and you have always kept your humour. Do you think you might have another book in you?
No, I don't think. One book is enough, and I tell you, the people who have seen my DVD, they come to see me and they say, Mr. Bahrami, you make me cry. I said, why? I saw your DVD. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, but you made me much more laugh, you know. Because when you, at some point, when I talk about my life, some people can maybe, it's very sensible. And then when you see the tennis side, it's a lot of laughter.
Do you want to go ahead?
Bijan
and
Kayvon. Bijan and
Kayvon. To carry on playing tennis.
Bijan and Kayvon. Yes. Bijan.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Well,
okay, so do you have any plans to translate the book into English?
Well, I'm hoping to find a publisher who's going to do it, and if it's a money problem, I don't mind putting the money up front, you know. But I'm meeting somebody actually tomorrow, or maybe the day after tomorrow, who wants to do publish it, you know, and so we'll see how it goes.
I think there's a life story for everybody in there.
It's a fantastic story. Really, the story is fantastic. You know, in France, many people bought it to give to the schools, you know, to the kids, you know, to... I don't want to talk about... I mean, that is not a
no,
big
thing. But I've seen from, and also heard from you, what you did in order to become what you are today is something anyone can learn from.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the humour that you do it with is very unique. Yeah. I think I could compare your career to Charlie Chaplin, because he did it in a way where he brought to comedy something very spontaneous and from himself.
Thank you. I mean, it's a good compliment.
And why did you choose the title The Man Behind the Moustache? Is it because people remember you mainly for your moustache?
Actually, it's not me who chose it. These are the people who did it here, you know, and they just said, Mansour, what do you think? I said, why not? You know the English people better than me, so they said, okay, we do it like this.
I mean, usually what happens with people when they're famous is that people start jumping on you and they want to be near you and they adore you. But I think in your case, you give a lot to the people, so it's kind of justified. Do your children find it hard with all the attention and everything?
No, my children, they've been seeing this for always, you know. And you know, you say people, we have to give to people back what they give us, you know. People... we exist because people pay to come and see us. And if nobody comes to see me play tennis, then it doesn't matter how good I am on the court or not, you know. So I have a lot of respect for them.
And do you think that's why John McEnroe likes you so much? Because you are very spontaneous and unique, and he was never frightened to speak out and be himself.
Well, John McEnroe is John McEnroe. He's a genius. He's a true legend. But sometimes the way he behaves with people, it can be shocking. But I mean, that's the way he is, and that's the way people want to see him, I think.
Okay, so where can people find your DVD if they're listening to this radio show?
They can go to mansourbahrami.com, and they can order it on the internet. That's the only way we're selling it for now.
How much is it?
£15.
Okay.
Yeah, it is 4 hours, and really, it's not. It's a very good value.
Yes, and also your book, I noticed, was quite small, so it must have been heavily edited. Are you sure that you might not be able to write another book about something else, maybe just about using humour in life?
You never know. Maybe in 20 years something comes, but for now I don't have no intention to doing another book.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
There you have it. So that was Mansour Bahrami talking at the Hilton at Abiba International event. Mansour Bahrami, if you've never heard of him, is an amazing tennis player, self-taught tennis player who began learning to play tennis using a dustpan because he couldn't afford a tennis racket himself. His father, I should just collect some information for you, because he's also called one of the most famous people that you've never heard of, and this is for this reason that we're looking at him today. When he was younger, his father was working in the Royal Tennis Courts in Tehran at the sports centre. But, of course, Mansour, being the child of the groundsman, wasn't allowed to play tennis. But he did learn by watching, and he eventually earned 10 cents an hour as a ball boy on the courts and used a dustpan or a piece of wood, even the palm of his hand, to learn to play tennis. When he was 13, someone gave him their racket, their used racket, and he went onto the courts on a very hot day when no one was playing tennis, and he thought he would be all right, and he played. And immediately some of the guards came and threw him on the ground until he bled almost, quite violently smashed up his racket, and he eventually went to live in France and would walk the streets at night so as to not have to sleep rough, and would live on chestnuts until he earned some reputation playing tennis and was given the green card to stay in France. He is an amazing tennis player. He brings something to tennis that no one else does, which is a sense of humour and a sense of theatre. He will do things like catch the ball that's been lobbied by his opponent in his pocket, or serve with 12 balls in one hand, or dance around the court. And his basic ethos is that tennis isn't about winning, it's about playing. And if people can laugh and enjoy the tennis game and remember what he did, that's more important than actually winning the game. And I think in times of increasing pressure on sports stars to be something superhuman, that's very refreshing. So that was the event that he was talking at. It was something to do with business, creating business in the Middle East. And I've spoken now to Ferry Tadayon, I hope I pronounced that right, from the Energy Deployment Company, and Bez Ghazani about what they felt about the evening, success or not. So please tell us your name and what you were doing here today.
Hi, my name is Behzad, and actually I was invited by one of my friends over here to actually to come and see Biba. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't aware that actually there was such a big sort of a gathering tonight. Mm. So it was a nice one.
It was impressive.
I found especially the bit that where Masoud came on board, you know, it was very good. I mean, it was kind of a joy and sort of being proud of actually being an Iranian, really.
And his example, what did you think about his example, like the difficulties that he's faced in his life?
Well, the thing is, obviously, life is tough. And you have to sort of be very sort of, you have to learn from mistakes. And also, you shouldn't be really giving up and work really hard for what you believe in. And I think that's what he did. Even though his racket was broken and he was actually using brooms actually to play surf tennis, but obviously he made great achievements.
And also, as a child, he was hit by the security guard. I mean, if that happened to any British child, we would have sued that security guard and the child would have felt, you know, vindicated. But instead, he didn't feel guilty or a chip on his shoulder or defeated. He got up.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's something that every one of us should really sort of learn from it and use it.
Would you use that kind of attitude in your business? What do you do?
Oh, absolutely. I think I have so far, because I actually run my own security company where we deliver real-time images from security cameras onto mobile phones.
Right.
So it's a new sort of top-of-the-range technology, and it doesn't really cost you an arm and a leg either.
Why would people want security camera footage on their phones?
Well, it gives it a kind of peace of mind when you're not there, and obviously you want to have a look at your business, or you want to sort of make a connection to your kids, to your family, and you're abroad on business, or you're actually traveling, and we just make the connection.
Oh, right. So it's their own security cameras. It's not the security cameras in the streets and all the ones that you see.
No, absolutely. It's
that actually, would be good.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we could give you to watch the traffic cameras, but I don't think that's really an interesting way. But you certainly can actually watch, obviously, your business, or even have, obviously, direct contact or communication with your kids.
Okay, thank you very much. Very interesting.
You're welcome.
So can I ask you, please, what's your name and what were you doing here today?
My name is Faribo Stallion. I was here just to come for the seminar and, see the speakers, listen to what they had to say.
What did you learn? Who did you learn from?
I thought Mansour was probably the most charismatic of the speakers because he had a story to tell. I thought the other guys were probably a little bit tedious to listen to, but Mansour with the story of how he started from nothing and managed to make something of himself and achieve his goals was, you know, very inspirational. I think that was the most interesting to listen to.
And did you recognise something in his tennis style that was distinctly Persian?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was...
Because I did.
I think, you know, all of us being brought up in Iranian families and just seeing the way that, especially all our fathers, are very single-minded and driven and, you know... just assume they're Iranian and they can do whatever they set their mind to. I think it's a very Iranian trait. You know, it's a sort of a stubborn arrogance that leads you to success, which I think, you know, is a good feature. So, I noticed that and I thought it was very good.
What about the humour, the way he did things with, and it was just so entertaining. Do you find that's quite homely to you?
I think there is a sense of comedy amongst Iranians. I think we like to be different, and I think he portrays that in his tennis and being a little bit different and eccentric, and creating comedy as that. I think is a great entertainment value, and I do see that amongst many Iranians. Yes.
I don't know if it sounds like you grew up in England like I did, and you were educated here.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So did you find that being different, you had to use humour in order to just get over that difference? Or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, at primary school, I used to label myself as a little Iranian arms dealer, you know, because, the Iran-Iraq war was going on, and I was brought up in North London, and, you know, it's, let's say, brought up in communities where a lot of the other kids, their parents, you know, as soon as they found out there was an Iranian kid in the class, they would, freak out a little bit. So, yeah, you have to use humour, absolutely. I think... it is a bit of a challenge being brought up here during the time of, you know, just after the revolution, during the time where the hostage crisis was going on, the Iran-Iraq war was going on, you know, and being an Iranian was not necessarily the most fashionable thing in the world.
Is it fashionable now? Because I think I often play the ethnic minority card and the topical card quite a lot.
Well, I mean, I don't know if the word Iranian necessarily brings about so much kudos, but I think Persians...
It definitely perks people's ears up. They've got opinions.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes people think that you've got something to talk about, which is which is good. I think, you know, generally speaking, Iranians and Persians living outside of Iran have, you know, on the whole, done well for themselves and generally are quite charismatic and, you know, clever people. And I think, you know... as a community, we've done well, so yeah.
Okay, so I asked your companion, I should ask you, what do you do now?
I work in the oil and gas industry. I work with manufacturers and engineering companies for projects in the Iranian oil and gas industry.
oil and gas, so passé. Aren't you moving into, like, wind?
Well, yes, we do. We provide gearboxes for wind turbines. We work all sorts of spares and services regarding wind turbines. So we're looking constantly at all forms of energy. Recently we've been doing waste incineration plants, which you can use the steam generation from which to create energy. So, you know, we're very open to new energy ideas, and we're doing these in Iran. So
some kind of living example of the anti-stereotype of a power company, Iranian power company.
Sorry, what type of...
You're a complete anti-stereotype, because although you're Iranian and you're into oil and all that, you're also investigating different means of power.
Well, I mean, I only do so because my clients are. And my clients, we have a petrochemical plant in Iran that was just fined €1 million for too much emissions. And so we went in to put an incineration plant in there, and they had to abide by EC regulations, and which are even tougher than British standards. They wouldn't accept our British standard documentation for the job, and we had to be in line with European regulation, very tough emission standards. And you would actually find the environmental mentality in Iran is moving drastically for the better. I mean, I know if you live in Tehran, you see a huge smog every day, and cars are heavily pollutant.
Well, it used to be like that in Delhi, and then all the rickshaws became gas-powered, and it completely changed.
Absolutely. And, they are moving more and more in that way in Iran. They're a lot more switched on than people think. And in actual fact, there's a lot more local knowledge for production of these technologies, which is, which is very promising for the future.
Fascinating. Thank you very much. Thanks both.
You're welcome.
There you go. So I was actually talking to someone called Farry talking to Farry at the Hilton about Mansour Bahrami, the amazing tennis player. We'd watched part of his DVD, The Man Behind the Moustache, which he was selling there and then. And I managed to get a short interview with him while he was signing millions of copies of the DVD. Now to move on to a piece of music which was sent into Resonance, so I'm very grateful for all those unsolicited CDs that we do receive. This is a CD called East by Hayden Dickinson. He's playing the piano. It's music composed by Peter Feuchtwanger. I'm going to play you an almost 10-minute long piece called Tariqa 1, study number 4 in an Eastern idiom. It's a really mesmeric piece composed in 1982. It was dedicated to and first performed by American pianist Craig Shepherd. So a tariqa is basically an instrumental prelude, or kind of, it can be instrumental. It's a prelude in Arabic and Persian music, and it imitates the sound of the santur, which is a many-stringed instrument which is hit with spoons, little wooden spoons. We call it dulcimer as well. So you can hear what Feuchtwanger has done with composition here. It's very many complex overlaid sounds which create effects which are very similar to the santur and don't sound much like the piano. Thank you. So there you go, that was the first track from the lovely CD East by Haydn Dickinson, and the music was composed by Peter Furtwanger, with whom he studied. I will link to Haydn's website when I eventually put this up as a podcast. All podcasts are on the Resonance FM's website eventually, as I have to put them up in my spare time, and also on a website, sixpillarstopersia.wordpress.com. Next week we will have an interview and music, well, sound art by Sharok Yadigari, who is a sound artist living in America. Lovely music there. And also we will have an interview with Firozeh Dumas, who is a comic writer who wrote two books of note. One is called Funny in Farsi and the other one Laughing Without an Accent, which she kindly sent me to read. And that will be after the week after next, which is the Free University. You can find out more about that on the Resonance FM website. The Free University is going to be an entire week of programming where just by listening you can increase your IQ. And many really prominent thinkers and artists and all sorts of people are contributing to this amazing week of Free University on the radio. So that will be coming up the week after next on Resonance FM. If you want to find out more, if you think you like what we do, if you think that we might be your community, please join our mailing list, which is on the website resonancefm.com. You just have to put your email address in there and stay up to date with all the goings on and bemusings of the director, Ed Baxter. We also have a podcast page, which you can link to on that website. So that was Six Pillars to Persia with Farry Bradley. Next week, as I said, Sharok Yadigari, sound artist. Next show is A Bite of Stars, A Slug of Time, and Thou.